Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Welcome to the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Tilford, joined by Rachel Shackleton.
Hi.
And Josh Brown.
Hello.
And we thought we would break down the remaining titles of 2018. I keep thinking it's 2019. I don't know why. It's near the end of the year.
You caused complete anarchy trying to prep this, Scott.
I was like, oh, so does that mean we can talk about Anthem and
yep.
Biomutant? And he goes, oh, is that this year?
I'm like, well, no. Smash Brothers and
nope.
Ting.
So, nope. Yes, just Scott.
Basically, because Red Dead Redemption 2 is everywhere, we thought we'd look at the rest of the stuff coming out. We're going to go by release order. So we have a good, I think it's 8 or 9 games to break down. Starting with November 6th, which is tomorrow. We're recording this on the 5th of November. Gunpowder, Treason, and Plot is The Walking Dead. Overkill is The Walking Dead.
Yep. Now, it looks like a thing.
I'll be completely honest. Only on me, I think it looks horrendous. Every time that they've showed it off, I thought it looked really badly made. So that's my take.
Is it finished? Is it made? Is it done?
Doesn't look finished.
Good question.
I'm scared for it. I feel bad for it.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're trying to go down the Left 4 Dead. I think they're trying to tap back into that sort of like group-based, like, you know, wave-based zombie game thing. And it has Left 4 Dead vibes. But
right.
It's whenever it's been shown off, it's been very spotty. And it just seems, I don't know, it doesn't seem like either they've maybe not had enough time to polish it as much as they could have done. But every preview event it's been at, it's not been held up very well. Obviously, The Walking Dead's going up against, like, the Telltale Games have the reputation side of it. And there was an older Walking Dead game called Survival Instinct. Yep.
That was so bad.
I was so bad.
No. Even I won't defend that, Scott.
But as the only Walking Dead fan player on the gaming
in
team.
In the world. Yes.
Yeah, in the world. The but, well, think? I was being the operative word that yes. I was looking forward to, but everything I've heard so far has just been negative, and it feels like it's just come. I didn't even realize until we were making this list that it was out this week. I knew it was like soon,
tomorrow.
But I didn't know it was literally tomorrow or today, depending on whenever this goes up.
Mm-hmm. It's a weird one. I think that, I mean, considering the size of The Walking Dead, especially as a franchise, you go off the books and the TV show, like it deserves a truly great action focused game.
It does,
and it's just maybe it is this, but everything that they've shown, it doesn't seem like it is, so we'll have to wait and see.
And I so wanted it to be this, because I really, really did.
You'd think that it wouldn't be too much of like a hard bet to just put enough money into it to deliver that like pristine quality thing.
So. You'd think.
But not to worry. Something else that's coming out tomorrow is called Grip. Now, this is something that's made by the dude. Now, do either of you guys know Roll Cage?
No. Well, yeah, I've heard of it.
So me and Jules played a lot of Roll Cage on the PS1, which was basically a physics-based driving game where you play as a little car with 4 big old wheels, and it had like kart racing-style power-ups, and it was great. It was really, really cool. The tracks intertwine everywhere. Like I said, physics-based racing, and it was awesome. That franchise had a couple of entries and then just like died off. But
right.
People like me and Jules, the old elderly cane people, stuck by it and always kind of said, hey, that franchise was really cool. Lead developer on that, lead director, whatever he's called, made this new game called Grip, and it's pretty much a remake of Roll Cage. So for the 3 people that care,
including you and Jules,
including me and Jules and the guy that made it, we are very excited about the release of Grip.
You know what? You being excited has made me excited.
Mate,
for it.
Same.
I'm going to play
so
it now.
Cute. Oh my God.
It's just the best. So I would recommend everybody to at least go check out a screenshot, some gameplay footage of Grip, because it's going to get buried. I mean, 2018 is absolutely rammed with stuff left, right, and center.
I know. I mean, everyone's going to be so excited about The Walking Dead that they're not.
Well, exactly. Yeah.
Out of the two games tomorrow, that one's probably going to grab the more headlines.
This is exactly it. This the end of this year is so packed. I was so looking forward to the Call of Cthulhu game, and then it came out on like the same day as Red Dead Redemption 2, and I forgot it was out, and I'm like, I can't play it now.
So yeah, I would like to bury my game.
100 hours into Red Dead Redemption 2. It reminds you of when Metal Gear Solid 5 came out the same day as. Something. No, it was Mad Max that came out the same day as Metal Gear Solid 5, and that was a great game. Yeah. One of the best games of the generation, in my opinion. Mad Max, not totally. Metal Gear Solid, but I love it. And it just got buried, and no one played it.
I was going to say, speaking of games that only three people liked, me and you, and I think Jules again, are big fans of Mad Max. Rach, go play Mad Max.
I have it. I've played a little bit of it. It's large. It's all right.
The haymakers and all that. It's pretty good.
I like working on my car.
Yes, making the car that thing. What do you call it? The juice?
The juice.
I think it's called the juice.
I don't even know. It's a great game, but I don't know what the car's called.
Don't worry.
It's the Interceptor, isn't it?
It doesn't even matter at this point. I think it's called the juice. But speaking of cars that are coming out in 2018, Grip is full of lovely little cars, and you should go check it out. The next thing that actually has a bit more sort of franchise pull is Hitman 2, November 13th. Now... okay, so you haven't played the first season of Hitman.
Nope.
Did you play the first season of Hitman?
It's not really my thing.
Okay.
But I could tell you the first one looked good.
So as a huge Hitman fan, the one that came out in 2016 is pretty much the best Hitman's ever been. Like, the scope and scale of those levels is ridiculous. Like, everyone sort of points to, like, Bethesda or CDPR as being, like, you know, the maestros of open-world gaming, and, like, obviously they are. But in terms of AI scripts overlapping one another, you walk into a Hitman level, and it is like stepping into another reality. Like, it's ridiculous the amount of ways that you can kill and interact with it.
Well, here's the thing, and this is why I'm a bad video game pundit, is because I love Hitman, one of my favourite goddamn franchises of all time.
Yes.
Loved Absolution, you know? Really enjoyed that game. I know. I'm so sorry. I'll confess to that, but didn't get around to playing the original season because the messaging was bad, okay? Square Enix did a pretty good job back when they don't own the franchise anymore.
Not anymore. IO Interactive have gone independent, which is that's one of the best things because they managed to keep the IP. They split with Square Enix. Assumedly it was Square Enix decision to go episodic, although it was also a bit of IO because they were like, we need more dev time, but whatever. So yeah, they've actually gone independent, but they kept a AAA franchise, which is extremely interesting as far as they're concerned. But yeah, season two for the most part is more levels. It's just more of the same, but in a really great way, because what they've created is a fantastic game engine, and the overall, like I said, scope and scale is phenomenal. Me and Jules played it at EGX down in Birmingham, which was like the level that you might have seen with the F1 cars.
Is that because they announced Sean Bean in it as well? Is that
I think he's one of the live targets.
Okay.
So one of the things that, like, the reason that everyone got put off the first one was because of the episodic thing. But like,
I thought that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And like, initially I was like, oh God, I don't want to do...
It confused so many people because I was working in a game store at the time.
Yeah.
People were so confused. They were like, that's it.
Yeah, yeah. But the thing was, like, it actually, they ended up working it into their favor hugely because it meant that you got one level every month or every 2 months, and then they would plug different targets into it. So it's like, you know, within the hours of like X and X, you just turn up and this target is somewhere in the world.
Okay.
Go find them. And so it meant that you were getting as much as possible out of each level before knowing that something else was coming the next month.
Yeah,
they actually really worked it into their favor. But like, you know, by the time that game had came out, no one cared because the initial burst of oh god, it's episodic, what the hell, just dominated everything else.
How do you think that's going to work with Hitman 2 then? Because obviously they're ditching the episodic kind of structure of it and going back to like the regular game. Will you still have that sort of incentive to stick to one level for a long time and get contracts that come in on the fly, or is it going to work in a sort of different way? I don't know. I didn't play the original, like I said, except from the free episode that's on the PlayStation Store.
I think they gave away the first episode for free. Is that what you were going to say?
No. I was just going to say, I personally think it's a good idea. I think it's a good move.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. They've done it as a direct response to the like season one, and they've still got the live targets, like Rach said, with the Sean Bean thing. So it's like they can still plug different ideas into it and people will seek them out. I don't think Agent 47 and Hitman in general has the same cultural pull that he used to have across the 2000s.
Yes.
Because of Absolution and because of both those movies that just buried him alive.
Which, again, going back to the messaging on the first game, which I didn't really get into because of like the marketing stuff. It was like, oh, it's episodic and you can wait for the whole thing. But also the episodes are getting delayed and it was kind of touch and go, and it did turn out really well in the end. But the same thing, in my opinion, has sort of happened with Hitman 2. Yep. Like, it's coming so soon, and yet I work in the goddamn video game industry, and yet I know so little about this game, and I don't know whether that's my fault or if it's the marketing fault, but I want to be excited for it. It's weird that IO have gone to this sort of, like, they've got the franchise back and it's still sort of find its feet with how to sell it back to players.
It is interesting because, like I said, like they've split, they've kept the IP, but they're an independent studio with this massive franchise, and I wonder how much they have like cooked the books and gone, okay, we can't spend that much on the PR, the promotion of it,
yeah,
but we'll make sure that the final product is.
They
immaculate.
Would have way more creative freedom as well.
Yeah,
I think it's like, a good thing. Yeah.
And like they're so passionate for it as well. Like they were really canny when we met them in person, but it's the same thing of like they've chosen to stick with the franchise even though they've gone independent. So that should speak to the quality of the franchise, and they've managed to like retain like a hell of a community as well. The people like me, us idiots who have stuck with the episodic thing, know what to expect and know how like vocal they are in terms of getting on the forums and talking to people. I just wish well for IO Interactive.
Me too. Maybe they don't really need the big marketing push anyway. We saw that with Hitman Absolution, which I admittedly like, but a lot of people didn't. That was Hitman trying to go mainstream. Like, yes. It was trying to get this massive audience. And I think season one showed that they don't really need it. They can sort of cultivate this goodwill and cultivate this market by kind of word of mouth and just the fans really embracing it. And that might be what we see with Hitman 2.
I would hope so. I mean, the thing that they... that's the thing. I mean, Hitman, everyone who's played the first season of Hitman, you guys should go play it.
I will.
Kind of like came out of it going like, this is a hell of a thing and why didn't I play this earlier? And Giant Bomb gave it their Game of the Year for 2016. Wow. One of the only outlets that did back in 2016, mainly because Overwatch and Inside were out. You know, that was those were our picks. But yeah, it's a phenomenal thing and hopefully it gets the attention that it deserves. So there's that. Spyro Reignited is also out on the same day.
Brilliant.
So a lot of people's crash is going to end up going into Spyro instead.
Yep.
So that's, November 13th for both those games, Hitman 2 and Spyro. What do you think of Spyro?
I played Spyro a butt ton when I was a kid and I am so excited. I've been following their Twitter and stuff quite like closely and they've been putting up little clips of like, here's what this level used to look like and here's what it looks like now, and it's just like, oh, the fires in my heart and the nostalgia, they are burning.
I think it's interesting comparing it to the latest Medieval trailer. Like, did you guys see that with the remake of that? Because that seems like a way more base, like a skin swap or like a texture upgrade kind of thing, as opposed to Spyro has literally been remade.
Totally
like, from
remade,
the ground up.
Yeah.
And it looks amazing. Like that's the thing with like something with the way that Crash looked when he got remade, like looked at initially a little bit off. Like, I don't know, just that sort of like really like radical bro 90s like art direction didn't look that great, but it was still fine. But you look at Spyro and he's right at home. Like the new look of Spyro for me looks spot.
I mean, Spyro the Dragon looks great. I don't know about Hunter the Cheetah, you know, the
I know
he
that
looks
guy
a bit odd, but other than that,
one of the things. Oh, go on, sorry.
No, I was gonna say what I would like with these, and it's just me being a spoiled brat of a gamer, is that it looks lush. The Crash Ensign trilogy was lush. Part of me kind of wants them to do the Halo Master Chief Collection thing, where you can
flick between them.
I know it's not. I don't think it's based on the same code or anything. I'm sure it's built from the ground up. But if there was somehow to get that feature in these games, I would love it, because I want to play through it all once with the new graphics, and then play through it all again exactly how I remembered it. And I know what you're saying. Just get a PlayStation 1. No, I don't want to.
You can get Spyro 1, 2, and 3 on the PlayStation 4.
You can get them on the Vita as well.
On the Vita, yeah.
Vita crew.
Apparently the Vita is better than the Switch.
Oh, yeah.
It is.
Apparently.
Yeah, I mean, I like playing stuff, old games, without paying for them again. So it's pretty good. But
speaking of, the PlayStation Classic's coming out.
Without Spyro and Crash. But Spyro, like, I think is shaping up extremely well. Obviously, it's got the nostalgic vote, and it looks beautiful. That idea of switching between them is really fascinating, though, because the thing that dragged down the Ensign trilogy for some was that if you went back to the old ones, the way that the mesh of those levels was made, and that the jumps were different, which is if you flip between it in Spyro's case, would that mean that the actual world geometry would have to change?
That's the thing, because I can't remember the Halo of the Master Chief Collection, but how did that sort of change when you did flip between them?
You press back or the sticks or whatever. You could flick on the fly. It blacked out and then came back up as the other game.
Right.
The way they achieved it was running the other game underneath the new one. So it was always running both levels simultaneously and you just boot between
them. That's ridiculous.
It's great. 343, like, I mean, for as much as Halo gets a bad rap now, deservedly in some parts, did very right by
their hearts in the right place.
Yeah. I think they're just hamstrung by a lot of publisher whims. But yeah, I mean, the idea of like flicking between them, I think, should be a medium standard whenever we have something like this, just so you can see how far something goes.
Totally.
It'd be really cool. So, next up, the day after that is Fallout 76.
Why are all these games coming out so close together, Scott?
I don't know. We had an empty summer, and then...
I know. I can't. I have no answers.
It's your fault.
Apparently, it's my fault. Let me explain.
It's like every year we get like the summer drought, and then just everything. Just here's everything for November and December.
So we heard that you like Christmas, and we heard you like buying games for Christmas.
Who'd have thought?
They assume everyone's outdoors during the summer, whereas we all want something to play.
Yeah.
So, whatever. So, Fallout 76. I'm not remotely warm on. Mr. Rich Hudson likes it a lot on PC, said he played with his friends, said that really brought it to life. You played the beta.
I played the beta alone.
Thoughts?
Alone, I wasn't really taken... I wasn't blown away. In the same way as, like, if I was to play, say, The Elder Scrolls Online alone, I'd be perfectly happy. But I just didn't get that with Fallout 76. However, I am going to be buying it. I'm playing it with my friends. I'm totally, because I did play that solo, and ever since I played it, I can't stop thinking about how much fun it would be to play with friends.
Right, right.
And I've heard a lot of other people saying that, you know, yeah, like Rich has been saying, he's played it with friends and mm-hmm. it's great. I just want a game that's just like a big sandbox, like an RPG, mm-hmm. that I can just like muck around in. So yeah, I'm going to be trying it out.
Because, you know, when you're playing the beta, did you get much of a handle or much of an idea of the different mission design? It seems like a lot of it's go here, get this thing.
It's very, it's quite basic. Yeah, and don't get me wrong, it's not. I know, I think, it's not a perfect game.
Right. I think that, the whole idea of it doing, like, base MMO-style stuff is that it encourages social interaction.
Yes.
Like, you and your friends traveling to get this thing.
It's simple.
So, yeah.
It's very simple.
And it's like, obviously doing anything with a bunch of friends is going to make it better. So I'm so fascinated by it. Because for me, it's the most out-of-left-field thing they could have done. And then it's just like, you know, you have the Fallout fandom who are, like, you know, second to the Diablo fandom as far as, like, knowing what they want. We'll get to those people later in the week.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com. A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This podcast is brought to you by Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it just makes hiring all in one place so easy, because you just get unparalleled access to job seekers. Plus, listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/WCG. Just go to Indeed.com/WCG right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/WCG. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
But, like, and as far as this goes, it's just sort of like, I don't know who it's for. Like, the main Fallout fandom seems to be just going, we don't want this. And the average gamer is, like, just who cares about a multiplayer Fallout in their regard. So I'm really curious how it's going to land.
Me too. I think I'm going to pick it up eventually, because I do want to see where this franchise goes. And I think this will genuinely be a good starting point. You know, if you don't like the multiplayer focus, that's fine. But if you do want to give it a try, this is going to be a good starting point, I think, for a sort of live service platform type experience going forward. While we do wait for Fallout 5. And I think it may start a little bit sparse, a little bit empty, but I can see Bethesda continuing to support it and transforming it into a really good game. That might mean nothing for the people who buy it at launch and are a bit burned, but if I want to jump into it eventually, I don't know if I'll do it on release date.
I think the most interesting thing for me, because I'm not that bothered about playing like multiplayer necessarily, is just how true are their claims that you can play it as a standard single player Fallout game? Because they've been saying that. They've been, oh God, we're sorry, no, we can do it solo. And I'm like, I remember The Division when you could play The Division solo.
2 hours in and I wasn't convinced that it would be a good solo game.
It's like any, you know, you can boot into like anything solo and be like, yeah, I'm technically playing this as a single player experience, but it's not like clearly not geared towards being that. So there's that. So the next up is 2 days later, Pokemon Go, Pokemon yes. Let's Go, Pikachu and Eevee comes out on November the 16th.
Okay.
Which you're a huge Pokemon fan, John.
I'm the opposite Same. Of a huge Pokemon fan.
What?
I just never played them as a child, you know, I never really got into them much. I love Pokemon, okay? I liked Pokemon Go, so will I like this?
About you? I know.
Right, when I was
I
growing up,
we let him in, to be honest,
I had one console, right? I had Sony's consoles, and then I got an Xbox, and I got an Xbox 360. I didn't have the time or the money to get any Nintendo consoles.
You never had a Game Boy?
I had a Game Boy Advance. I had a Game Boy Advance.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't play any Pokemon in it because I thought it was for kids. I thought it was too cool.
I mean, it is for kids.
Wow.
That's the thing, right?
It's
me
universally fun.
Being a complete idiot when I was like 12, I was like, oh, this is a kid's game. I want to play Call of Duty. And I was wrong.
I think like the whole thing with Pokemon Let's Go is that it's pretty much a remake of Pokemon Yellow with all the Pokemon Go style things plugged into it. So it's a strange launch window because it's after the summer burst. I mean, like we all started playing Pokemon Go again this summer. And people did 2 years ago. So now it's like, hey, remember this?
Months later? I think... Announcing it when they did was a smart move because it got a lot of us out there again playing Pokemon Go.
Yeah, it did.
Because of the compatibility.
Every lunch break.
Every lunch break, yeah. We were off, we were doing raids, and I spent money in the app, and I'm sure a lot of other people did. So announcing it when they did.
You both did.
I didn't like it, but I spent money on it. Back in the hype, like when it first launched, I spent money on it.
Girl needs some balls, okay?
Girl needs some balls, Scott.
You need your sauce, and that's not
you need the sauce
that you can get inside the game. To be fair, I also spent money in
Pokemon. Yeah, so
digital jacket, so you're not to worry.
Announcing it when they did, obviously, was to get people to go out and play Go again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And now that it's Christmas, you know, we'll play Let's Go for a bit, and then again, the Pokemon Go compatibility will resurface in the summer, I'm sure.
And I only played a tiny bit of it at EGX, but it's exactly what you expect it to be. Like, the graphics are gorgeous. I'll get a kick out of just seeing a nice HD version of all the characters that I grew up with and all the creatures that I grew up with. And so there is that immortal pull from Pokemon. If you grew up watching the show, then they can always tap into that. I kind of have a theory that the only Pokemon generation that truly holds weight is Kanto, is the original.
The first one, yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, you look at how much, like, Pokemon Go had the whole world at its feet again. It's like, it's kind of interesting seeing that they're going back to it again. So yes, that's the thing.
I am hype.
Yeah, whether Pokemon can work in a Christmas window. Following that, we have Battlefield 5. Remember
right,
remember
okay, now I'm hype. Guys.
Okay, so November 20th is Battlefield 5.
Yes, it is.
Go on, mate, you're the only one who cares.
That's the thing, I'm going to get a lot of crap for this because I do care because I played the beta and I thought it was really good. And,
no, we both said it was good.
We both played the beta. And
you're
it's
allowed
got,
to
It took
care.
A lot of crap. Of and the messaging for this game has been terrible all the way through the board. We've just found out that the Battle Royale game mode isn't coming until next March, which is good, but also bad that they've just sort of dropped it on us like right now. I think this game is going to really stumble out of the gate, but I do hope, fingers crossed, that it turns out to be good because I do like what I've played and I loved Battlefield 1 and I've been playing Black Ops 4 recently and I'm really wanting to get into it to sort of scratch that shooter itch. Mm-hmm. It's kind of been doing it for me, but it's not what I want from a first-person online multiplayer shooter, and what I want is Battlefield 5.
I think even though, like you said, we played the beta, and obviously it's Battlefield. At this point, they know what they're doing, and it's locked down. It's Battlefield. But one of the things that stuck out to me was how safe they seemed to be playing it.
Mm-hmm.
It was just sort of like, yep, here's more Battlefield. And then you obviously looked at the PR messaging and these sort of different ways that they tried to give Battlefield 5 an identity that I think have fallen flat. And then even they went, oh, we're doing Battle Royale as well. And then, you know, Call of Duty beat them to the punch.
Yeah.
And so it makes really good business sense for them to delay it, because then they're not going to have their mode put up against Blackout. But it's just strange. I feel like Battlefield's kind of just limping out and just being like, I'm here.
That is what
eventually.
It feels like.
Is it winded?
A little bit, yeah. It's a little bit in the knee. And I just think it's sort of, I don't know. Like, I obviously love the Battlefield games. I think I've played all of them. And so it just seems strange. It just kind of feels like a full delay might have benefited.
It is, and it's not, like they showed off the single player campaign, which should be a huge thing now that Call of Duty doesn't have one. But it's just kind of like, it looks all right.
Have they shown any more than that weird trailer that just looked like a bunch of interstitial vignette thingies? It was all like burnt out, like a spotlight on someone's face and it whips past and then someone else goes in for a bit and then it cuts to something else.
Was that the one from E3 or was that the one?
I think it came after E3, but because I couldn't tell you what the Battlefield campaign is about. I have no idea.
Well, no, because it's just like the episodic war stories thing again over and over again. But it's, I don't know if they were fine for Battlefield 1. That got loads of praise in that game and I thought they were all right. Like, it was an okay campaign. It was really short. Some of the war stories were really good. Some of them were really meh and kind of short. Like, if there was one thing about Battlefield 1 that was sort of overblown, in my opinion, it was that single-player campaign, and which is why I'm not... I think EA sort of overrated how much people were sort of invested in that to return to it in this next game, even though I am appreciative that it's there at all, because Call of Duty ripped out in...
I like the idea of a big old AAA first-person shooter thing. So, yeah. But
I think because COD got rid of the single player, then Battlefield needs to keep it.
Yeah.
I actually thought the narrative was a really strong point of Battlefield 1.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Well, I love the vignette approach to it. I like the idea that you can canvas an entire, you know, like a time period by showing different things. I was hoping that's what they were going to put in Battlefront 2, and they just didn't.
I thought the storytelling was really good in Battlefield 1, like the way they told these stories and the characters were well drawn. It was just sort of the gameplay itself was kind of rote, and it was like, oh, we're going to a flying mission, we're going to this on rails shooting mission, we're going to a tank mission. It was sort of segmented really strange inside this episodic like narrative that was already itself structured really strange. But I thought like the narrative was,
I think there's enough there for them to pull from. And that's the thing, they can make that there, like they can make that part of Battlefield's identity. If the PR was better, then they could have easily gone, hey, that thing that you love from Call of Duty, we have that this year.
Yeah.
And it would have just landed, but they haven't done it. So
instead, they just put a person on their cover.
And that went down.
Hope that would go well. But so speaking of things that aren't going to land very well, and it's very sad, November 27th is Darksiders 3.
Oh.
Now, I adore Darksiders 1 and 2. But yeah, RIP. Oh. Because this thing is coming out at the complete wrong time.
Yeah.
It's just, like, the Darksiders fandom is enough to, like, you know, THQ Nordic put out the remasters of the first one and the second one, sold apparently very well, and they said that was going to tie people over until the final installment. But it just seems, it's just come out at the wrong time. You've got people still working through Red Dead 2. You've got everything else that we're mentioning. And Darksiders is a cult fan base. It's very much a small kind of underrated kind of thing.
Yeah.
It needed room to breathe, and it's not going to get it.
That's what I think about a lot of these games coming out at the end of the year, to be honest. I would push some of them maybe to February, March, even though there's so much stuff coming out in February. Maybe I take that back Anthem, Days Gone, there's a lot of stuff.
But that's all in, like, even that is next year. That's a tight little window, like 2 weeks or something, when it's like Anthem and Days Gone and a whole bunch of all crammed together.
Well.
It's like, hey, industry, just spread it out. We've got money, we get paid every
month. I suppose Days Gone got delayed again, so
Days Gone.
So it did.
Yeah, and I guess, like, you know, but it's like, if you let it breathe a little bit, I think people would check out Darksiders. Everyone knows the name, and so, like, it's always been one of those franchises that, like, everyone knows, or, like, knows someone who goes, oh my god, Darksiders, and if you don't, you now know that I do. And so, like, especially Darksiders 2 had this really lovely loot grind to it, and it was a much bigger game, but yeah, it's a very hack and slash God of War type combat thing with all these kind of cool loot grindy RPG elements, and the characters are great.
Yep.
If you ever like Legacy of Kain, it's pretty much the spiritual sequel in terms of it being like chunky characters.
I've been meaning to play them for
ages, so good.
And I just haven't gotten around to it, and I really hope 3 does well, because I mean, just that'll affect whether I play 1 and 2 is how well 3 goes.
And I guess, I was going to say, regardless, at least 3 is now coming out, because fans have wanted, I mean, I forget when Darksiders 2 came out, I think that was 2012.
Yeah, a while ago.
It's been a while, and so, like, yeah, I mean, at least both those original games will always be there. The first game has Mark Hamill as your little demonic companion floating around helping you and swearing at people. So if that doesn't convince you enough, I don't know what will.
Good.
So there is that. So yeah, next up, speaking of another thing, there's just no one seems to really care about, is this December 4th Just Cause 4, which I completely forgot was coming out this year.
A lot of these games I forgot were coming out until I noticed them.
It's such a shame. Like, wow.
Yeah, I mean, we saw a lot of POS and a lot of, that's point of sale. We all know from working in game shops. Big old posters and billboards and stuff for Just Cause 4 down in Birmingham for the EGX there thing. But I haven't seen much gameplay footage of it. I haven't seen anything that demonstrably makes it different from 2 and 3. It just seems like more Just Cause, which... You know, fine, I'd love Just Cause 2, but...
I think 3 got a lot of shtick when that came out for not being Just Cause 2, so I wonder if Just Cause 4 is going to have the same experience.
That's the thing, Just Cause 3 had this whole, like, you know, this personal story of Rico Rodriguez, and it was, you know, it was very story-focused, and a lot of people went, oh, that's not what we want. We want carnage and chaos. And then for 4, they looked like that. They've got a new really cool storm system, and a tornado rips everything apart. But then they were like, and we're going deeper on Rico than ever before. And I'm like, why?
Hey.
Why are you doing that? Just blow stuff up. Like,
hey, man, they could do it for Kratos in God of War, so they can do it for Rico Rodriguez.
But not Avalanche, not when their focus is like on world destruction. Like, I would love a really, like, I don't know, older, like, beaten up Kratos-style Rico.
Avalanche are a really strange studio for me, because that's their sort of premier series, and yet the other work they do on other games is always better for me. Like, they did Mad Max, and that was awesome, and they're doing Rage 2, and that that looks awesome, yet Just Cause is like their big thing, and for me, I just don't get
it. They're only doing the driving bits of Rage 2.
Right.
But those bits do look good.
Still co-developed with them.
Pretty much like Mad Max. With a lot of more colour in it. So yeah, I think, I mean, I don't know, we'll see how it goes. I don't think Just Cause has the pull. Again, it would just benefit from a different release window.
Yeah.
Like, just put it out later. I guess they have different financial windows and quarters to meet. But whatever, we can end on a high. December 7th is Super Smash Brothers Ultimate. Finally arriving on the Nintendo Switch.
Wow, that game looks amazing. We've been given so many Nintendo Directs. Like, we've had, what, 3 Directs that are all just about Smash, pretty much. And every single time I go, like, what more could they possibly announce? And then the one just dropped, like, last week. oh, my God.
I've actually lost count of how many people are in that thing now. Like,
There's like ultimate characters.
There's a lot of characters. Unlimited.
There's a hell of a lot. It seems like every week there's another new announcement.
40 or something.
It's saying someone else has been on. So yeah, I mean, at least the roster is like at least jaw-dropping in itself.
I mean, there is something for everyone. Mm-hmm. Like, and I mean everyone.
I'm looking forward to it. I think, I mean, I tried to get really into The Last Super Smash Bros. In terms of, because obviously it's an eSport, a lot of people really love it. So I was like, right, I'm going to give it its time of day. I'm looking forward to it. I'm definitely going to give it a shot. Super Smash Bros. Combat has never clicked for me.
Well, we know that.
Yeah, you know that. This is not the place for that, but that's the whole thing. I would want to give every Smash Bros. A new shot. And Shovel Knight's in this one, even if he's an assist trophy. So that might get me in.
So you will love it then?
I will love that one bit of it. Yeah.
I'm kind of the same as you. I've tried to get into it before, and like I love playing it with friends, but I've never actually sat down with it for an extended period of time and being like, right, I'm going to learn this. I'm going to learn the intricacies of it. Mm-hmm. In fact, I don't really do that with many fighters, but I want to do it with this. This seems like a really good jumping point for me, for the franchise, and I'm excited to give it a go.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. It's like the only fighting game I've ever been interested in.
Wow.
I mean, the fact that it's all Nintendo games kind of helps, but I just can't get behind the whole like side on just like you versus you, but like with Smash it's like you're on like 8v8 or I think it's even more now in Ultimate, and just like all these characters to choose from, and it just looks amazing. I usually play it solo, actually. Mm. I really loved the one on the Wii that had the adventure mode, and that's all I wanted for this Switch version, and they announced that.
I was saying they've got that new like top down board game type looking
mode. It's going to have adventure mode, and it looks amazing.
So. I guess we'll see how it goes. I mean, in terms of there's a hell of a lot like in its favor. Like Super Smash, and Nintendo know exactly what Super Smash is.
Yeah.
Fandom knows exactly what it is. So regardless of all the other games that we've covered on this that might not land as their developers and publishers are hoping,
Smash Brothers
will completely dominate and be the game at Christmas. So yeah, let us know what you think down in the comments. Let us know however you can find us on social media or whatever. This has been the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I've been Scott, your host, joined by Rachel.
Hi. Cheers.
And also goodbye, and joined by Josh.
Bye bye.
Catch you guys later.
Bye. See ya. Oh, boy.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.